Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online. Your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, 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 my listeners. For the Smart Hour, I am so excited about tonight's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so ready to dive into this topic. It's not even funny. I get a chance to talk to my brother, one of my favorite guests, about what's going on with the elections and what we're supposed to be doing as far as the church. So this topic tonight is Know Your Role. We're going to take a quick song break. I'll come back and introduce my guest, which many of you are familiar with, but I'll come back and introduce him, and we're going to dive right in and hear what the Lord is saying to this man of God in this hour. So stay tuned.
In the beginning, God created man from the very dust of the earth. He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living nephesh, a living soul. God breathed into him his destiny. He breathed into him his purpose. He breathed into him goals and concepts and creativity. Whether you know it or not, all of that is down inside of you. The Apostle Paul said, those he did foreknow, he did also predestined, that we might be conformed into the image of his dear Son. The reason that God sent you into the earth is so that you can exhale what God inhaled inside of you. So that you can push out of you all of the things that God has put inside of you. I came to tell you tonight, you're not through living yet. You still got work to do. You still got buildings to build. You still got songs to write. You still got works to do. You are pregnant with possibilities. You are loaded with potentials. You are filled with concepts and ideas that haven't come to birth yet. Bind every devil that would hinder you from receiving what God has for you. And don't let any devil in hell make you abort the dream that God has inside of you. Tonight, my brothers and my sisters, I decree a miracle. I declare a blessing. I speak it into existence without intimidation. Touch somebody and say, manifest. You're going to manifest who you really are. You're going to manifest what God put inside of you. You're going to manifest your creative power, your voice, your potential, and your creativity. I rose to my feet like a physician in a delivery room to tell you that after all the pain you've been through, you've finally come to the time that you can push. Touch somebody and say, push it out.
tuning in to the Smart Hour tonight. We are talking about knowing your role. The song we were just listening to is Manifest by Bishop T.D. Jakes and The Fire There. So I just wanted to get a little bit of that in. It's a very long song, but it's so right on time for what we're talking about tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest. Pastor O'Shea Smith is first and foremost a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a husband and father of three sons and lives in the West Metro Atlanta area. At an early age, he felt that God had a plan for his life. He was very active in his church and was often called upon to minister the word. But it was while attending West Georgia College in the 80s, when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the call of God became very clear and precise. God began to give him understanding of his word and revelation knowledge with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. His ministry pursuits took him abroad to Tampico, where he saw pain and suffering and a lack of God on a larger scale. When he came back to the States, he began to go to the unreached on the streets and in places where it was not comfortable or convenient to reach the lost. He is the pastor of Communion Fellowship in LaGrange, Georgia, the Adam Where Art Thou Men's Fellowship, which started out as a small Bible study of men and now has grown into a ministry that expands nationally with a weekly conference call, monthly breakfasts, and fellowship, and a tri-monthly shut-in and fellowship, and has branches in Douglasville, Georgia, Marion, South Carolina, and Baltimore, Maryland. He is also the author of the book Unity, The Real One Accord, amongst many other endeavors. So I want you guys here on the Smart Hour to welcome my guest, one of my faves, Pastor O'Shea. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Tanisha. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on. You know we have some good talks. So how are
yes.
you tonight? Thank you for coming on again.
You're more than welcome, and I'm just so excited for the opportunity to come and share the word of the Lord and what God is speaking in this last hour. I'm extremely excited because God has birthed something in my belly that I think that the body of Christ, the church, the world needs to hear. And it's a clarion call. It's a call of love. It's a call of correction. But I believe that as we receive this word from the Holy Spirit, I believe that burdens are going to be removed. Yokes are going to be destroyed.
Yes.
I believe lives are going to be changed like never before.
Yes.
There's going to be an outpouring. And in the body of Christ, we're going to begin to love God again, love the word of God again. And I believe
My
that
God.
Manifestations that the word of God said are supposed to take place won't be just a thought, but it will take place in the lives of those who name the name of Jesus Christ. So as you can tell, I'm excited.
Woo.
I'm
yes.
locked and loaded. I'm like a bull trying to hold myself from coming out of the gate. So praise God. I thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited about what God is doing because the Spirit is
Amen.
Being poured out now like never before. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Oh, I can tell you're excited. I can't wait to just get in your head and in your spirit and see what God is saying.
Praise God.
You know, we have some, like I said, we have some loaded conversations every time we talk, and it's never a quick
yes.
conversation, but they're always so fruitful and just rich, and it leaves me wanting more. So we're going to start out because we've already built a rapport, talked about, you know, tonight's show and what some of what God wants to share from you. But if we could just start for our listeners, just to give them some background on what we're talking about. We know that the latest buzz in society, maybe perhaps still the latest buzz in society, is the 2016 presidential election. And what
uh-huh.
the Lord placed on my heart as far as doing this show is that the church has a posture that we're supposed to be in during this time. Now, you and I, just to start, take baby steps, so to speak, because I know, like you said, you're locked and loaded. So we discussed a few things in our last conversation. One of the most profound things that you mentioned to me that the Lord revealed to you is that this particular election, if we could just start there and kind of build from there and allow the Lord to have his way, when you said the Lord revealed to you that this election showed people where they were or where their hearts
yes.
were. That was so powerful to me because I had to check myself, you know, like I shared with you when we did our talk, that I had to check myself to make sure, okay, I'm not racist, or that I don't have these thoughts and attitudes that are hidden just in dealing with, like I gave the example, dealing with my leasing office and going there and having the wrong attitude just because of the tensions and what social media was feeding in. So let's start there. What else has the Lord said as far as the condition of man's heart, be it in the church or outside of the church, and what this election actually revealed about a lot of people?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. It's interesting, for the past 18 months or so, during this entire campaign and this election, and a lot of people were glued to the television wanting to know what President-elect Trump would say, what would Senator Clinton would say. And what happened was the enemy, who, you know, the scripture says in Ephesians 6 and 10, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What the enemy did was he raised his head and saw a golden opportunity to come in and polarize this entire campaign. So what happened for the last year and a half, we saw the world, the United States, divided. You had some people who were all the way for President-elect Trump. You had some people who were all the way for Hillary Clinton. And so what happened was, we forgot, Tanisha, that we were the United States.
My God.
The entire country was divided. Now, my concern is, I understand what happens when sinners sin, because that's the nature of a sinner. I understand when there are racist black people, racist white people, racist brown people, racist yellow people, racist red people. I understand those who do not know the Jesus Christ that we say we live and we serve. However, what I believe the Spirit of God showed me in these last 18 months or so is the Spirit that's operating in the lives of those who confess Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their lives. And what it revealed, what I believe the Lord showed me, a lot of people were operating in racism, and when that spirit that attached itself to the world and raised its ugly head, there were those who were attending church every Sunday, reading their Bibles every day, praying every day, but had a spirit of racism and prejudice
My
on their lives.
God.
And the thing is, that's on both sides. That's for black confessing Christians, white confessing Christians, yellow confessing Christians, red confessing Christians, brown confessing Christians. Everybody who named the name of Christ began to get on the same side that our enemy was
My
on.
My God.
And it went so far. As I sat back and people would ask me, they would say, Pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? And I didn't have a thought on it. I didn't have a, because I wanted to hear what God was speaking to me. And had I swayed toward President-elect Trump, I would have had one sort of way of thinking. Had I swayed toward Senator Clinton, I would have had a different way of thinking. So I began to ask the Spirit of God, you speak to me. And so, whereas I thought, like so many of those who are believers, that God would speak to me about those candidates, God began to speak to me about the church. He said, son, what I want you to see is the church. Don't look at Republican and Democrat. I want you to see the church. Those who say they love me with all of my heart, with all my soul and all my strength, I want you to see how they are dealing with the same racism that the world is dealing with. And they've masked it by calling it Christianity. Now, Tanisha, I was so concerned when those that we call the generals of the faith, some of the elder statesmen in the gospel, began to prophesy and began to say that God told them that this person was going to win, or God told them that person wouldn't win, or God told them that if you vote for this person, you're not of God. And I sat back and watched those generals of the faith begin to divide the church. And the Bible says to these
children,
a house divided against itself cannot stand. So now you've got Jesus Christ's body divided and telling the other half of the body that you don't know who God is. And so in the midst of all of this, I saw the church. I saw those who named the name of Christ have to confront their own racist thoughts and ways.
My God.
The Bible
That's
says,
powerful.
How can we say, Tanisha, that we love God whom we've never seen? Lord have mercy. 1 John chapter 4 and 20. How can you say you love God that you've never seen and say you hate a brother because of the color of their skin?
Wow.
And so many people in the church, it was heartbreaking. I felt the grieving of the Holy Ghost as I began to say, see, on election night, some Christians were rejoicing over the victory. Some Christians were mourning. And I said, my God, I thought the joy of the Lord was supposed to be our strength. How did we get so caught up in this world system that an election in a world that's godless, in a world that doesn't even care about God, we as the body of Christ got caught up into that world, and that world changed our day. There were people crying on the on social media saying, what are we going to do? Tanisha, there were people who sent me text messages saying, Apostle, now what do we do? It's time to pray like never before. To which I said to them, what do you mean pray now like never before?
Ooh,
you mean to tell me you haven't been praying? You mean to tell me you went into that
booth
and you voted and you never prayed? No, we don't start praying now. For those who have been praying, they already knew that Jesus Christ was Lord before the 2016 election ever took place. So what the Lord began to show me in addition is the number of Christians, the number of believers who took part in the different campaigns and posted on social media and posted on television and posted on the radio and went door to door knocking and established headquarters in their neighborhoods, in their cities. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, they don't even campaign for me like this.
Wow.
They've never gone on social media with such veracity. They've never gone on television and radio and promoted my agenda the way they're promoting Hillary's agenda. They've never stood on the corner and passed out tracts of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're standing there with a shirt on that says, Support Trump 2016.
My God.
And when I heard that, the Lord said, I need for you to bring a correction in the body of Christ. I need you to speak to the body of Christ, because the way the church looked to the world is a divided house. And the scripture says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so the world saw this as an opportunity to further infiltrate the church and began to give the church their customs, their beliefs, their ways of living, their ways of thinking. And that's exactly what began to happen. And as I was
watching this,
my heart was just grieving, because I felt the Holy Spirit just grieving, because the Lord, I believe, spoke to my heart and said, I thought you said you loved me, church. I thought you said that you seek first the kingdom of God, not the democratic system, but the kingdom of God. Our kingdom is not a democracy. Our kingdom is a theocracy with one king, and that is Jesus Christ. And so as I began to see this, my heart was just crying out, and I was just, the Lord had me in intercession, just praying for the body of Christ. Because what the Lord, I believe, spoke to my heart, Tanisha, the body of Christ, those who named the name of Jesus, do not possess what they think they possess.
Ooh.
And this
let's stop right there, because that's...
Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, say that again, because that's exactly where I was getting ready to go. You said this election was
yes,
a litmus test? Oh, my God.
This election
Lord have mercy.
Was a litmus test. This election revealed where our true affections were. And what the Lord
Ooh.
Showed me that those who name the name of Jesus Christ do not love God the way they say they love God.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So with this, that was so loaded. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God, for correction. But just to, and that's the thing, even in coming to this place, now that things have settled down a little bit, I can say, well, at some point, you know, all the protests have to stop. I did see recently where somebody burned a flag, and I even see Buzz Now online where they're talking about a recount and all these different things. But just
as
the body of Christ, at some point we have to embrace that correction, because that's what a father does to a son that he loves. He's going to correct us. So we have to embrace that correction and really look at ourselves and see, okay, how can I change and repent and keep it moving? Because like I said, at some point you got to just accept the fact that this was the result, and then we have to keep going from here. So
Absolutely. So
for anybody that's listening, I'm right in the boat with you. I would just empower anybody to really just confess that thing before God and to repent so that we can move forward, you know, and that is so true.
Yes.
There have been people that have been so diligent about this election and about the agenda of these candidates, and not to repeat everything you just said, but just to say that I can really sense how this grieved God's heart, even in my own life. You know, I wasn't pro either one of them. I was shocked at the results. I believe ultimately that God will use, that the position of presidency itself is anointed, and that God will use whoever is there, because he says the heart of the king is in my hand. So he can use whoever is in that position to fulfill his will. And it's all about the exit. It's all about the return of Christ and the world moving in that direction. So the world is always coming to an end, and this is just Trump or whoever gets in that position is his part in it. And as believers, you're absolutely right. I did see a lot of people saying they were leaving the country, and people were upset, and just these different posts and stuff. I had to pull away from social media for about a month, because I have to do that and get some downtime. But I did, you know, peek in and see some things where people were just really upset, and pastors talking about their children woke up crying. One pastor I know from up north said his child woke up crying and was like, oh, my goodness, we're doomed. And children should not feel that way, and there's something wrong to me. And
absolutely.
I'm not judging him or anybody, because I have to check my own household. But it's something wrong with the structure of your household if your child feels that the president has more authority than Jesus Christ, or feels that, you know, that his life is ruined because a specific candidate got in office. Or what about, you know, Jesus being Lord overall?
My
because
God.
He was Lord. He was God before we got here. He'll be God when we leave. He was
God
before the election. He's God after.
Yes.
He'll be God the next few elections should the Lord tarry. So it's
Glory
something
God.
Wrong with our homes and our houses being in order if that type of thing is happening. So when we look at those things in the church, and we get our correction and like, okay, God, we're ready to do this thing, how do we as the body, well, like I said, I've seen, you know, the different things that people are doing. So some people are just still, you know, in an uproar or whatever, you know, burning the flag and all that type of stuff. What should a believer say once we have repented and we've gone before God? And, of course, we have the art of fellowship, you know, and following the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But what is it that you sense that a believer should say to someone that is sensitive as we move into this posture that the church is supposed to be in, so that we can do what we're supposed to be doing and manifest in this hour? What do we do when we speak to an unbeliever or somebody that may be a believer and a babe or whatever, or just hasn't really embraced the results? What do we say to someone like that so that we can get on point and really start walking in the direction that God would have us to walk in?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. Two very important points. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that in the, is in the world is the love of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So what happens is, in that correction, we must first admit that I've loved the world and I've gotten so programmed into the system that I did not set my affections on things that are above where Christ is. Because even in Old Testament scripture, when there was the mean Pharaoh that was lording over the people of God, Pharaoh was lording over them. And the Bible says, when the famine came in the land, when there was pestilence in the land, Tanisha, the Bible says God told Israel to go over into the land of Goshen. And in the land of Goshen, there was a place of peace, prosperity, and harvest, although there was devastation going on all around them. So when we understand that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, good God Almighty, God has called the body of Christ to repent, Tanisha. Repent means to come high, come back to the high place, come back to your original position. You know, I shared with my guys down in LaGrange, Georgia, at Ark Refuge Ministries. I shared with them how when I was in New York and I was up on top of the Waldorf Astoria, which is just hundreds of stories off the ground, when I would look at people from Times Square, from ground level, there were all sizes of people, Tanisha. But when I got to the top of the Waldorf Astoria, and when I looked down from that vantage point, everyone looked small. Everybody looked like an ant. When we began to set our affections on things that are above and look at the circumstance, look at the situation from God's perspective, God didn't shudder the night that President-elect Donald Trump was elected. God didn't shudder one bit. And so since I'm in Christ and my God didn't shudder, my God didn't flutter, then there's no reason for me to shudder or to flutter, because my confidence is in God. And in him, Tanisha, we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. So what's going to happen is we're going to have to get back to either following the Jesus of the Word of God or the other Jesus that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, what has happened is we know Jesus by everything other than the Word of God. And what the Lord has been speaking to my heart is that's another Jesus that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But the Jesus Christ of the Word, the Jesus of the Bible, in that Jesus we can live and move and have our being. It doesn't matter who's in office. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So for those who will repent from how we behave throughout this election, and repent simply means to change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. Begin to set your affections on things that are above. Now, that sounds real spiritual, but all that simply means is make the Word of God the final authority in your life. So if you want to decide what to do, before you make a decision, in all your ways acknowledge him. Go to the Word of God, and if you can find it in the Word of God, as the Spirit of God gives it to you through the art of fellowship, then you walk in that. But unless you hear from God, don't move by your feelings. See, those people who are protesting in the streets are protesting out of their emotions. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're not being led by the Word of God. For those people who are saying, let's give a recount, they're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by their emotions. God. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we have to be who we say we are. Praise God. That's what we have to do. You have to be who you say you are. Because, Tanisha, there's a dividing line that's taking place. The scripture says in the last days that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The scripture says that in the last days, judgment must begin in the house of God. So throughout this last 18 months of our lives, the tree was shaken. And there were people who said they were Christian trees, but when the shaking started taking place, the little bit of fruit that they thought they had was being held on by super glue, by scotch tape, and it wasn't an actual root out of the tree.
My goodness.
And
my
that's
goodness.
What we've seen take place. That's what we saw.
Yeah. So, and looking at all of these, and that's powerful as far as us getting to know Jesus or walking with Jesus as we should, you know, following Christ, following the Holy Spirit. You mentioned,
yes.
Well, just in listening to you talk, it was brought to my remembrance. I heard someone say one time I was at the doctor, said that people, when you look at all of the things that are going on in the world, that people are really just picking their sides. And that was so powerful to me because that when
mm-hmm.
they said that, it wasn't a thing of an election or anything. The election hadn't even come up, but it was picking their sides, as in, am I going to follow God or am I not going to follow God? And so when we look at what's going on, and particularly this election being called the choice, that's something that's very paramount. And as we move closer to, and I'm not this doomsday person, however, I try to remain conscious and just be bold about whatever God wants to speak through me. But as we look at, you know, the times and everything that's going on, we are rapidly moving towards the return of Christ.
Yeah.
And it is in
yeah.
a position, we are in a position now where people are ultimately making the decisions that they're going to make. When we look at everything from that perspective, okay, and the fact that there are still so many souls to be saved, obviously, because, you know, we're still here. And we
yes.
know the heart of God is that he's not willing that any should perish. So when we look
yes.
at the church's posture from that perspective, what do you as a pastor encourage the body, or what is God saying about the body when it comes to saving souls and saving as many as we can, even in the midst of all of this information age where we have so much that's flooded into our homes and flooded into our ear gates and flooded into our eyes? What is our role as the church? Yeah, to be who we said we're going to be, and that's definitely key. But when it comes to the position of saving souls and the Great Commission, what we're supposed to be doing in the earth, what is the Lord saying as far as us getting postured and not just being in a particular, not being postured to stand still, obviously, but to really go forward and save souls? Am I asking that question clearly?
Sure. Yes, ma'am. I understand
okay.
clearly what you're saying. One thing that I will say, and is so paramount, we have to understand mm-hmm. that, you know, as we went through this election process and as we went through the campaigning, one thing the Lord made real clear to me, he said, do you realize the number of people that could have been led to Christ that we spent our
Ooh.
Energies going through an elections process? We spent all of our energies
wow.
and our monies. And we spent all of our time. And we spent our phone calls. We spent our advertising for a false
wow.
system. He said the number of people that when you were
wow.
calling them saying, are you going to come out and vote? Do I need to pick you up? He said, how many times have those same
wow.
people called and said, are you going to church? Do I need to come and pick you up?
My
how many times
goodness.
Did those same people stand on with a Jesus shirt on the corner and pass out tracts saying you need to be born again? Jesus loves you. So what the Lord
mm-hmm.
showed me, with the same veracity, we were witnesses for those, the Democrats
wow.
and the Republicans. The church
mm-hmm.
were witnesses. So it's not a matter,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not that you don't have the tools to do it, but because we were so engrossed in this world system, we chose Barabbas
mm-hmm.
over Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
We chose Barabbas
goodness.
Over Jesus. See, Barabbas represented this fallen world, this fallen
mm-hmm.
nature. Jesus Christ represented redemption, salvation, and the word of God. So when it came time, so we're so quick to judge the Jews for how they chose Barabbas over Jesus. But every single day.
Oh, my God.
Throughout
Come
the entire
on.
Election process, we chose
My
Barabbas
God.
We chose the world system. Oh, we became cheerleaders for Barabbas. We became campaign managers for Barabbas. We became phone callers for Barabbas. We became polling location posters for Barabbas.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And here was Jesus, the Word of God, looking at the covenant people, looking at the church, saying, what about me? And what we said, because we chose Barabbas, we were saying, crucify him.
Oh,
crucify
my
him.
Goodness.
The church said in these last 18 months, give us Barabbas and crucify the Word. The Word does not have preeminence. Now, what's so very important for us to understand is that God has called us to be witnesses. And so, through our self-effort, Tanisha, through our own leaning to our own understanding, we turned that into a work. We turned it into a self-effort chore. We turned it into something that we don't want to do because it sounds too much like work. You made witnessing sound like something you got to go do. But if you read the scripture in Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, go ye into all the world, watch this, and be a witness. See,
my God.
Go ye out of the world and witness. Go talk to people. Go door to door. Knock on the doors and say, do you know Jesus? Go to their door. Knock on the door. And Tanisha, the Lord showed me something so beautiful. He showed me something so beautiful in Scripture where we began to go door to door, knocking on doors and asking people, do you know Jesus? Like the Jehovah's Witness. God said, I want you to take a look at my method of being a witness. And he showed me John the Baptist. He said John the Baptist was a picture of what being a witness for Christ is all about. And in that, Misha, John the Baptist, called and anointed of God, the scripture says he went out into the wilderness, and he stood in the wilderness eating locust, wild honey, wearing loincloth. He stood out in the wilderness proclaiming the word of the Lord. And the scripture says, hear this evangelical ministry. The scripture says, all of Jerusalem and all of Judea came to where he was. Good God Almighty. He didn't go knocking door to door. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And when they see your good works, they're going to glorify God. So when they saw John the Baptist and felt the power that was on the man's life, the scripture says two whole cities went to where he was to be baptized, to repentance. Now look at what John said to them when they came out. John said this, who has warned you, you stiff, uncircumcised, stiff-necked, unregenerated heathens? John said, you got to bring forth some proof. Look at the boldness of this man. Now, here we are. When we do what we call witnessing, we're almost begging people. Come on now, you know you want to be saved. Don't you want to be saved? Come on now. Come on there. You don't want to go to hell, do you?
Come on and talk about it. Oh, my goodness.
That's self-effort. And during this election, the harvest is so ripe right now. People are so disillusioned right now, both in the church and out of the church. But those who know their God are going to be strong. They're going to do great exploits. They're going to be witnesses. And right now, the fish is on top of the water. Tanisha, you don't even have to throw your bait way out there. You don't have to launch into the deep. The fish is on top of the water. People are disillusioned. People are wondering what tomorrow's going to be. They're wondering what President-elect Trump is going to do. Even now, there are those who name the name of Christ still in delusion and bereavement and trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
When right now, there's a great time for us, if we do repent, which means change your mind and come up high again, see it from God's perspective and begin to walk from that perspective. And if we will walk from that perspective, glory to God, I believe we will be a witness. And see, being a witness requires fruit.
See, when the people look at the church and don't see fruit, even Jesus don't want a tree with no fruit on it. Good God Almighty. Jesus himself, when he was hungry for some figs, he saw a tree that looked like it could help. It looked like it could meet the need. And when Jesus stepped to that tree, the word of God said the tree had no fruit. And the scripture says that Jesus Christ, he cursed the tree. So even Jesus doesn't like a tree that's supposed to have fruit that doesn't bear fruit. So when I'm saying it to your question about evangelizing, as the people are disillusioned and they're looking to the church, they're looking to God, said, we need an answer. We need a word from God. We need to know what to do. I'm afraid. You just mentioned about the children. They're afraid. Mm-hmm. Well, God didn't give them a spirit of fear. God didn't give them that. Somebody had to introduce that fear to them. But if we would walk as the body of Christ and bear the fruit of God, you know what I learned about fruit, Tanisha? When I was a little boy growing up in LaGrange, Georgia, when I wanted apples, there was a lady that lived down the street from me who had apples on her tree. And when we would go to her house, she had a dog outside of her house that would guard the tree. So what we would have to do is work in teams. One team would distract the dog while the other team jumped the fence and got the tree, got the fruit. And then we jumped back over the fence. Now I want to share something with you. When we saw that tree spoke to us that I have fruit. And when we went to that tree, we were able to pick apples from that tree because we wanted apples. If the body of Christ would bear the fruit of God, as it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, if we bear the fruit, when the people see the fruit, they're going to come and pick the fruit. You never jump a tree and risk your life on fruit that you don't want. The mere fact that they're going to come to the church because they see the love, they see the joy, they see the peace, but they're called the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, that fruit belongs to the Holy Spirit. And you can only possess that fruit when you possess the Spirit of God. So to answer your question, how do we take this society that's now in derision and in delusion and they have questions? We allow the Holy Spirit to birth in us the fruit of the Spirit, and we be witnesses. We don't do witnessing. We be witnesses. And the people will come to your fruit, and when they reach to your tree, they'll pick that love. They'll pick the joy. They'll pick the gentleness. They'll pick the goodness. And you won't have to beg them to come to Jesus. They came because they saw the fruit. The fruit will make them come and receive Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have to stop trying to do it in our own self-effort. We're going to have to stop and realize we've done it the wrong way. We followed a plan that Jesus Christ did not prescribe for us to follow. And we must learn the art of fellowship. It is now paramount because Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he has an assignment. He's going to guide you into all truth because you are only walking in some truth. You're walking at 20% truth. But when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, 100% truth in every area of your life, truth in your finances, truth in your health, truth in your relationship, truth in your family. God says the Holy Spirit will give you 100% truth. And when you follow him, the Bible says people will be drawn to the fruit of God on your life. We're not going to get it any other way. And so what happens is we've got to get sick and tired of doing it our way with no results and purpose in our hearts to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And the scripture says, Nisha, all these things, what things, Lord? All the things God wants will manifest. The things that you've been trying to have faith for, the things that you've been praying and turning your plate over. God says, if you're just walking obedience, it's on the pathway that I have for your life. The stuff that you're trying to pray and fast 40 days and you're getting all sick and cussing out your children because you're hungry, if you were just walking obedience, God says you don't even have to fast for that. That's in your path. That's, I've ordered that for your life. But you got to repent. You have to come back high to the high place. Look at your circumstances from my standpoint and govern yourself accordingly, and the world will run to the church. I'm so full of this stuff. You forgive me. I'm full to the brim.
No.
Because I see what God is doing, and I'm so excited, and I prophesy that the body of Christ, now that we've seen our true selves, this litmus test of this election showed us who we were. Now, I believe by the Spirit of God that we are going to make the correction, that we are going to turn, that we're going to fall in love with Jesus according to the Word of God, and I believe the harvest of souls for the manifestation. You got lions biting other people, lions devouring the lamb. The scripture says they're groaning for the manifestation. They're begging and pleading, saying, I don't want to bite anybody else. That's not why God made me. And the Bible says when we step into that place, the lion and the lamb will lay down together. Glory to God. God said when we step in that place, and I prophesy that in this coming year, that there are those who will hear the word of the Lord, that God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, that sons and daughters are going to prophesy, that some of those old generals are going to move out of the way. God's calling those old generals who set the precedent. Now it's your time to step aside, because God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Young men are prophesying. Young men are now having vision. Old men are dreaming. While they're dreaming, we're running with this thing. Because it's to prepare the church. It's time to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is coming. I know we don't talk about hell anymore in churches, Tanisha, but hell is still in the Bible.
Come on.
Hell is
still on.
People are still going to hell, whether we talk about it or not.
My God,
the soul
it's
that
true.
Sinneth shall surely die, and the wages of
my
for the
God,
gift of God
true.
Is still eternal life. And so we can get caught in all these doctrines, we can get caught in all these philosophies, but I will stick with the word of God, because the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word is going to stay.
Yes,
so I know
is.
That if I hide that word in my heart, I won't sin against God, and I'll be able to stand, glory to God. Hallelujah
Jesus.
To the Lamb of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
My God, my God, my God. See, and I'm so glad. God, I thank you. Ooh, God, I could just break out right now and start speaking in the spirit.
Praise
my goodness.
God.
But God,
God,
I thank
praise
you. Well, I'm glad
Hallelujah.
You went there. I'm glad you were led there when it comes to Glory. Talking about hell and things like that, because that is the type of speaking and teaching. When we think of John the Baptist and how raw
Come
and
on.
Uncut he was,
yes.
and just coming
yes.
with the truth. It wasn't sugar-coated
Glory.
Or anything. When we
Glory
talk about
God.
Those things and bring that realization, that will provoke a sense of urgency,
yes.
not
yes.
only for the church of where we are and what we're supposed to be doing,
yes.
but the urgency that we could be speaking to the person that's closest
Glory
to
God.
Hell, not because of
Glory
what they
God.
Did, but because of the time God. They have left. And we don't
yes.
have time to be caught up in the world and caught up in
Amen.
The systems and caught up in all these things. We do have to save souls. It's about
Amen.
The souls. It
my
is,
Lord
it is,
Jesus.
It is. My God, it's
That's
the truth.
Why Jesus
we are...
came to me. That's why
yes.
he came. He did not come so
yes.
you have a new house and a new car and a new mate.
Come on.
He came because
God help
souls
us.
Were at stake. He came because souls were not going to know what it's like to live with a loving God. We had fallen,
God.
And God said we could get up. So in his love for us, he sent Jesus, not so you can have faith to get a new job. That was
My
never
God.
His intent. If you just seek me first, you don't get all that stuff.
Yes.
Jesus Christ came so you could get back to your position in God.
God
glory
God.
To God. And so the enemy
God
has called us to teach everything else but what Jesus said. And so I'm at a place in my life in ministry where I only want to say what God says. I don't have another agenda other than the
God.
Will of God, because I found out, Tanisha, he told me, if you would teach the word of God, signs and wonders will stay with you forever. Because signs and wonders don't follow Pastor O'Shea, they follow the word. And if Pastor O'Shea is in the word, then signs and wonders will always follow my life. Glory.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my
glory.
God, my God, that's loaded. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to repent. I just have to acknowledge you now because I feel the presence of God now. God, thank you for the opportunity to repent and for correction, God. God, we repent and ask your forgiveness that you would turn our hearts back to you, God, that our minds would be on your will and your purpose and your agenda in the earth, not some political campaign, not our own feel-good messages, God, but what you came and died and rose again for. God, help us to get on point. Help us to be postured and to move out. God, renew a sense of urgency, please, God, in our spirit, that we understand that we're accountable. Blood should be on our hands, God, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in the earth. God, give us a sense of urgency. My God, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
My goodness, Lord!
Lisa, I know your time is about up, but I gotta just say this. Now you see the importance of the Holy Spirit. See, we will, in our own ability, we'll lean to our own understanding, and we'll get off track. And see, we're always having to run back. But if we ever learn that the Holy Spirit never gets off track,
if we would learn
that He always stays on course. And if we learn how to just follow Him, Jesus said He's coming and He's on the guide.
My God.
See, we keep having to, I got to come back. That's because you didn't follow the Holy Spirit. He never gets off track. He'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death and you won't even fear because He's with you. He'll lead you in the dark places and you'll illuminate those places. And people will come out saved.
So I just
want to admonish us. We've got to learn the art of fellowship. Follow the Holy Spirit. He'll never, ever lie to you. He'll never, ever let you down. He'll never, ever trick you. Jesus,
my God,
the third person that came down from God. Jesus said, I love you so much, I got to go home, but I'm going to send somebody just like me. Lord have mercy. And say, I will with you, but He's going to get on the inside of you. And make sure that if you follow Him, listen, Jesus said, you can talk about me and be forgiven. But if you ever talk about Him, because He's the only one that can get you back to me, you won't see me anymore unless you learn how to follow Him. Because His pathway of life is back to God. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. I just had to get that part in because He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, but He also will never steer us in the wrong direction. That's the Holy Spirit, why I love it so much. Glory to God.
That's good. That's good. And that's so good. Thank you, Lord. And that's true. That is
praise
so
God.
True that He never gets off track. He knows. Goodness, He knows
never.
The plan. My God. Thank you, Lord,
praise
for the
God.
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
See, this is a meaty show right here. This is this is a show with because we've as a whole, as the body, have gotten adjusted or adapted to this feel good, and it's all about our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing and where that is important. I found in some cases, I believe it puts self on the throne or puts self before God's very agenda. And so if I am supposed to manifest, I am supposed to walk out my purpose, but it's God that I'm serving. And sometimes we can get to a point where our purpose is our God and what we want to accomplish before we leave. And we want to impress people because we're in this information age. And that's just the reality. We weren't even structured to have all of that information flooding into us the way that it is. And so we get these false ideologies of who we are and who we pretend to be and all of this. And it gets all of it is a distraction from
the very
reason why we're here. It is, like you said, hell is still in the Bible. And if we do remember these things, it has not. And neither has deliverance ministry and fasting and the things that Jesus did. And we look at churches now, and you rarely hear church talk about a fast unless it's a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. Or maybe a 40-day consecration, which a lot of people, it's become so carnal that people are fasting and don't even know why. Don't even know you're not supposed to have your spirit open. It's a spiritual highway. And when you're fasting and you're listening to anything and watching anything, you don't have an understanding. And you're getting understanding. But all we're hearing is how to get your car and how to become a millionaire, how to be this. And we've gotten to the place where marketing has even crept into the church, where you see people, I'm not knocking people, but if you're sitting in church and you got to tweet something, you don't need to tweet. I mean, God, let your spirit reign. And as your spirit falls down, just as it did with John the Baptist, the people come. People come to that. I mean, this is a meaty episode. I believe it's for those that want, sincerely want to get it right. Oh God, for people that will cry out to God. And in the midst of everything that's going on, you know in your heart of hearts you've gotten off track. Or you know in your heart of hearts that there's something more for the kingdom to be doing.
My God,
get us. Lord, have mercy. We have to get back. There is nowhere. I believe Jesus came to show us what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And when we look at the different churches, we do not see, oh my God, we do not see what Jesus did going on in these churches.
Oh boy.
We don't see those key things. And we don't see how Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, it was the miraculous and the things
Come
that
on.
He did, him being that drew the people. We don't
Come
see
on.
That in the church. We will
Lord
send
Jesus.
Out a flyer or shoot
Lord
out a commercial
Jesus.
Or shoot out something marked instead of manifesting as God would have us to and allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us. There is nothing
Absolutely.
That nobody could say if we would really open blind eyes and heal people and move in the authority and in the power of the Holy Ghost the way we're supposed to. And nobody would be, the world would not be able to say nothing. For all the people that are, oh, God is not real, God is not this, I don't believe, I believe in the universe, or whatever the case may be, when you have the evidence of the presence of the living God and what we're supposed to be doing, that's it.
Yes.
How can you argue against that proof? My God, Jesus.
Fruit cannot be fake. When that apple tree grows apples, you can call it orange.
Yeah.
It's an apple.
Yeah.
Because fruit
cannot
be fake. You can fake running in church. You can fake saying amen. I've heard people fake speaking in tongues. I've heard them fake prayer.
Mm.
But you can't fake fruit.
Mm.
And the Bible says you,
you
shall
cannot.
Know them
Lord.
By the fruit. You can't fake fruit.
My God.
This is what has happened. We've gotten satisfied not being anointed. The Lord gave me that word some years
Ooh.
Ago. People in church have gotten satisfied not getting results. And now what the Lord is telling me, Tanisha, that's another Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Ooh.
Because the Jesus
Come
of the
on.
Bible always get results. And
Come
that's what
on.
Paul said.
Oh,
Are y'all
goodness.
Serving another Jesus? You're teaching another gospel?
Ooh.
You're teaching a
Thank
gospel
you,
that looks the part, has a form of
oh
God,
my God.
In it, but has no ability to give results. That's another
wow.
Jesus. But
Thank
the Jesus
you.
Of
Thank
the
you,
Bible,
Holy Ghost.
There's no thinking of that fruit. The Jesus of that Bible, when he said, Lazarus, come forward, Lazarus didn't tarry, Lazarus came on out of the grave. But this other Jesus,
right.
this phony pseudo Jesus that we're teaching in church, you say Lazarus come forward, and when Lazarus doesn't come forward, y'all go have a steak dinner. Y'all go cook some chicken.
Ooh,
y'all go somewhere and
on.
Have a yard sale. But the
oh
Jesus of the
goodness.
Bible, when he said Lazarus come forward, Lazarus came forward. Mm. Glory to God.
My God.
So this is another Jesus that people are teaching. It's another religion. It's another gospel. Paul said, but it's not even the gospel. Because there's only one good news.
Wow.
When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forward, Lazarus came forward. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
You get me fired up again because I'm shut up now.
That's good. That's good. And I'm glad. Thank you, Holy Spirit, when you went back to that Jesus, because that was in my spirit to go back to that just for anybody. When you talked about 2 Corinthians 11 earlier,
yes,
and the Jesus that Paul spoke of, that's that one. Oh, my God. That's powerful. That's the one. The one that's not delivering and healing the sick. And my God, Jesus. Oh, my God.
In that same passage of Scripture, do you realize in that passage of Scripture, he was talking to the Corinthian church. He wasn't talking to sinners.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, in the church, y'all teaching another Jesus.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
You got another spirit. You got another gospel y'all teaching. It's a gospel that looks like God, but don't bear no fruit.
Oh, my God.
And there are more people in church that look, they've got a form of godliness.
But denying the power.
The power. Ooh. God Almighty.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Glory to God.
That's good. That's good. That's good. We got to get it right. We got to get, and that art of fellowship, we get it right. Getting back on track.
I'm telling you.
And straight focus ahead. God, what do you want me to do? I'll go here, go there, do this, do that.
Amen.
And to really just be open to the Spirit of God, because I hear this now. It's a lot of people in the church that aren't even open to the different avenues that God will speak and move through us in. We feel like we have to, it's another Jesus still, if we feel that we have to box God in and not be able to reach people. I was talking to someone, and this can be a touchy subject for some people, but I was talking to someone about homosexuals and being able to minister to them in this hour. I believe God has given me an anointing for that, because I grew up in a house where, you know, my mom would leave us home alone when she would get ready to go out. And that's no fault to her. She's deceased. I'm not faulting her for that. But she was divorced, and maybe she just wanted to get out sometimes. So anyway, I would wake up at night. I had two sisters. We would wake up at night to find out she had gone out to the club or whatever. This one night, a girl came and slept over at our house and introduced the lesbian spirit. I myself have never been with a woman, but that spirit lied dormant in my older sister, and now she lives that lifestyle. And so I was talking to someone about how to minister to people that are battling that spirit. And so when it comes to, when I was talking to the person, they went into, you know, the doctrine, and that's not scriptural, that people could be born like that and all this type of thing. We have to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. If God, when it comes to scripture, of course the scripture is good for correction and all of those things, but those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
Yes.
So we get it backwards when we put the word before the Spirit of the living God. So if God is trying to bring somebody into the kingdom that has a homosexual spirit, we can't go to them with doctrine. It's got to be the art of fellowship. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to this person? Because you know where this spirit entered, how it entered, and what you want to do to bring them out. Because the Spirit of truth will speak right to their gut, right where it is, to bring them right on out of that situation. But we have to be open to allowing God to be who he truly is. And that's just something in thinking about getting on track and staying on track and things like that. We have to allow God to really use us. And it might be controversial in some places. It might be controversial to some people. People might not understand. But as long as we have that peace of God, this is what you're telling me to do, God. This is what you want to say. Or you might just want me to listen or just be. But whatever the case is, God, I'm open to you to use me the way you want to use me.
Praise God.
Lord,
praise
have
God.
Mercy. We got to allow God to be God. And we have to, you know, when it comes to deliverance and all of the things that Jesus did, we got to walk in that authority and walk in that power. And that authority we know will come with relationship. Because when I know that I know that I know him, I can walk
praise
in authority.
God.
I can walk
Lord
in a
God.
Room knowing that all of heaven will back everything that I say.
Glory
that as long as I'm speaking as he would have me to speak, Lord, guide my tongue. Don't let me release a word from my mouth that you are not pleased with. God, whatever
praise
I say,
God.
I'm yours. I am your vessel. And when we
praise
have that
God.
Relationship with him, we know, and people can see it, even if they don't know what it is, that it's the presence of God over you, and it's the presence of God with you, and all of heaven is ready to back what you say. Oh my goodness, this has been meaty here, Pastor Shay. See, it's like we're having one of our good phone conversations right on the air.
Yes, praise God.
Oh my goodness. So
wonderful,
in the midst of all
wonderful.
Of this and all that we have shared and all that God has shared, I believe, through us,
what
are your any final words from the Lord or you know, that God would have you to release or to speak to our listeners? And even if someone gets a hold of this message, and I've said on my show, you know, before, that I don't take any of these shows lightly because this is global. It's the World Wide Web.
Amen.
And so anybody at any point through the corridors of time could get a hold of this message, and it could change their lives. So when it comes to this show, I pray and I ask God, what do you want said? What questions do you want asked? Who do you want to be on this show to talk about this topic?
Yes.
So with that said,
yes.
After everything that's been shared, is there anything else that the Lord has on your heart that you didn't say? And there's no rush, but something that you didn't say or something that you believe the Lord has given you to release.
Yes, just quickly, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60 that darkness will cover the land and gross darkness. And darkness simply means lack of understanding. It'll be ignorance. It says not only darkness, but gross darkness. But he doesn't leave us there. The scripture says, but the light, which signifies illumination and understanding, but the light shall shine upon thee. And so I am so encouraged that even in the body of Christ, we may feel like I missed it during this election. Maybe I got caught up in the spirit of this whole campaign process. Maybe I got caught up in that spirit of racism or prejudice that had been laying low on the inside of me. Maybe I got caught up in that. And so, but I believe, the scripture says, but the light shall shine upon thee. Glory to God. I believe that as that darkness and gross darkness is covering the land, for those who will declare and submit themselves to God's holy word, that I will allow the word of God to live through me, I believe the light is going to shine so bright, it's going to stamp out that darkness. And all of those who want to know who Jesus is will be able to receive who Jesus is, because what I've learned is, when you allow that light in you to go outside of you, you're no longer living for God. You're living from God. The light is flowing from you. And as that darkness is covering the land, I'm just so excited that the light's going to shine on God's elect. Oh, glory to God. More people going to run to us. And those who will submit to the word and follow the Holy Spirit, burdens are going to be removed everywhere. Yokes are going to be destroyed everywhere. People are going to be saved. People are going to come back from the grave. The dead are going to be raised to life again as the Spirit of God leads. Everybody will be healed and saved. In Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this, the Bible says there was no lack among them. It says there was no feebleness. That means sickness. When we follow the Holy Spirit and allow him to direct our lives completely, there's no lack and there's no sickness. As a matter of fact, they called it commonwealth. Lord have mercy. It was wealth because everybody had it. They called it common. The scripture says they had all things in common and there was no lack among them. I believe every church that chooses to follow the Holy Spirit and submit to the word, I believe wherever that church is, it will become an oasis. And everybody in that neighborhood will come out of poverty, lack of understanding, and they will see in the demonstration of the love of God, because the light of God is going to shine brightly among them in Jesus' name. Amen.
My God, that's good.
Praise
that's good. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
My
Thank
goodness.
You, Lord.
Glory be it unto us. My God.
Hallelujah.
Lord. That's good. Oh, you know it is always a joy.
It's been a blessing. My pleasure. Praise God. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on to the show. You know I appreciate it. I'm going to say good night to our listeners.
Yes.
And again, we thank Pastor O'Shea for coming on and sharing what the Lord placed on his heart regarding our posture, the posture of the church, what we're supposed to be doing, just getting our hearts right, getting our spirit right with God so that God can use us in this final hour. So I do want to thank you guys again for listening in. Make sure that you tune in next week. You don't want to miss us.
You have been listening to The Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.
Yeah.